7 o'clock.
Call to order the Tappan Missouri River Natural Resources Board of Directors meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start, I want to thank Vince Crapper and Dorothy for their hospitality for gathering before the meeting. Thank you very much. Always been a pleasure to interact in that way, so thank you for your hospitality. Notification of Meetings Act is, copy of the act is on the board, on the wall over there. Prior to turning the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce a procedure to be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the action and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed through the board chair. We ask the public not to interrupt the directors' discussions and action. Thank you. Form call, please.
Bailey.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Grunwald.
Here.
Dabb.
Here.
McCormick. Pinsky.
Here.
Caesar. Weiss.
Here.
And Chairperson.
Here. I have excused absences for Director McCormick and Caesar. For adoption to the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yeah.
Grunwald.
Aye.
Dabb.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yeah.
Bailey.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Item 5, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Grunwald.
No.
Dabb.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bailey.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. I have here proof publication of this notification of this meeting and duly published in the paper. Move on to item 8, agency association report and presentations. If you notice, the NRCS is not on the listing. We'll be getting a report in October when it's done, the end of fiscal year issues. Watch for that next month. So item 8, NARD Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD annual conference will be held September 22nd through 24th in scenic Kearney, Nebraska. Highly advise any of the directors to go. It's a great time for breakout sessions, getting together with the other NRDs, some fun, some golf, some shootout. Overall, a good time. Unfortunately, I cannot make it again this year, but please enjoy. That's all I got.
The city's dry, is it, you know?
I'm not sure about that, but maybe you might have better knowledge of that.
All right. We'll find out. Thank you. Item B, reporting to Coach City Activities, Alyssa Sahalchak. Did I pronounce that right?
Close.
All right. City Administrator.
Hello. Thank you for coming. Good to see you guys again. And Vince, thank you for dinner tonight. It was good, like always. Just a few things going on in Dakota City this current fiscal year, I should say. We completed a street paving project. I think the last time I was here, I probably told you about the same thing. So that's been positive to see. We, in addition to adding infrastructure and installing new, we're also looking at our aging infrastructure. And this year, we had a sales tax issue that was passed and has gone into effect to replace things like fire hydrants, our catch basins, some panels that were bad. So I think that's been a good priority issue for our community as well. We had initiation of operation of our new wastewater treatment facility, which is pretty close to Vince Cramper's house. I think you got a tour of it yesterday. Is that what you said? Yeah, so we're very proud of that facility. It's been about a five-year process, I think, from the early planning stage to completion of construction. So it's nice to see that in effect. We also, just kind of as a nice little fact, we were able to achieve the status of the Tree City USA. We were not previously. And our first tree planting project since was a Celebrate Trees grant, where we planted 25 blue spruce trees in our new wastewater plant. So thank you for that. And then in the next year, the next time you'll be coming through, you'll see that we have a hazardous household waste collection event in Dakota City in September. Again, thank you for helping us with that. I know that's a well-attended event. We are also supportive of the efforts to establish monitoring wells in our area. I think that's really good for our customers. And we're going to continue our tree planting activities and probably apply for another Celebrate Trees grant. We're also experiencing some exciting commercial development as well. Dollar General is going to start construction in October. And the Old Hungry's building is also undergoing an expansion and a renovation. Hopefully, I think they're hoping to be open either sometime this fall or maybe early in 2020. So that'll be a positive impact for our community as well. And now that the old wastewater site has been demolished, we're also looking at, you know, what comes next for that area of ground. And so kind of in the early planning stages for that as well. So that is what's going on in Dakota City. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I haven't even called on Lance yet. Item C is South Sioux City activity. Lance Head, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and the public. Certainly, it's great to have you back here in town. I certainly got to echo the comments on Vince Cramper and his family really opening their arms for 31 years. Pretty amazing for them to do that. I do want to commend the board. I think you've always been very innovative. I think you've always looked at new ways to help both the urban and rural residents throughout your district. I'm going to comment about a few things that are happening within South Sioux City, just to the north of here. We have Flatwater Crossing development. It's a 200-acre project. That's big for us to get 200 acres. It's done jointly with Dakota County, jointly with Ho-Chunk and with the city of South Sioux City, putting the infrastructure in that area. In that same general location is the new Veterans Center. It's a welcome center. We just had a flag burning ceremony there yesterday with the veterans, and it also contains a statue for John Durandara, who passed away with his dog in the Middle East, and so we have a statue to him and his dog at that location. Unique to our city is a community orchard. We're going to actually be letting the public get apples and fruits from the orchard, as well as nuts. So we do have naming rights too. If you want to have a nut tree named after you, you're welcome to submit your name for that issue, as well as we have bees within that district providing honey for our area. We'll announce a new housing project, which again to us will be very big. It'll be $25 to $40 million that'll get announced here shortly. Providing the much needed housing we have with the thousands of jobs that are open within our area. The governor's gonna come up for our new surgery center. That's gonna have 120 employees. It's gonna help serve the health needs of our community and surrounding area. So we're very pleased with that. We're gonna build the first community battery storage facility between North Dakota and Texas. Will be built in South Sioux City. Was done with help by the Environmental Trust and NextEra Energy. So we'll get going with that, and that should be operational by less than a year from now within our area. Empirical Energy used to be BPI. They're adding a $30 million cooling facility to their operation. They're putting a $3 million expansion on their building. And next to them, Ingredient is gonna use yellow peas as putting an $86 million expansion on their plant here in South Sioux City. State of Nebraska is building a new health department building within our area. Great West Casualty is building actually two insurance projects that just opened up this year. One is for Great West itself, and one is for its subsidiary, Joe Morton Insurance Corporation. Along the riverfront, we have a new $1 million tennis court facility which is an amazing thing for us to do, working with the private sector, putting in virtually all of that money within that area. We're working with the Natural Resource District on a shelter house and a new outdoor soccer area. We're also restoring Scenic Park from the flooding. If the water ever goes down, we'll know what the damages are overall. We have a great trail system, as you know. You've been part of a lot of the trail systems that have happened within our area, connects to Dakota City and connects to Sioux City. To this end, in 2019, there was an award given out for an award of merit from the Nebraska Concrete Paving Association. And they presented that to Dakota County, South Sioux City, and also to yourselves. So I would like to present the award that was given to the Fabia, Missouri NRD from the Nebraska Concrete Paving Association. It's a great project. We did enjoy it. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne.
Nice. Nice. That's it, and
thank you very much.
Thank you. Clarification, you said flag burning ceremony. You know, that goes without saying, an appropriate flag burning for damaged flags.
Thank you.
Can't be too careful these days.
That's important.
Yeah, but thank you, Lance, for your report. All right. Item D, information report, feasibility study. Expand Dakota County Rural Water System to Cracker Lake and Dana Shops. I still love the sound of that. Anyway, go ahead, Zach Nelson.
Good evening, thank you. So here with me tonight, I have representatives from Olson Associates who helped put together the study, Mike Plackey, Matthew Smith, and Anthony Fitzgerald. I also have with me my staff who does a tremendous job taking care of the rural water systems up here, Lance Ulrich, Bill Whaler, and Lowell Raber. They're great guys. One of the things, we made a lot of progress in recent years installing a lot of water mains ourselves. It's a great way to reduce costs, expand the system, and help out people quite a bit. So I'll let Matthew kind of pass out copies of this feasibility study. So the main thing tonight, it's mainly just to kind of provide some information on a plan that we're putting together to help out rural residents here in Dakota County get clean potable water, as well as potentially get water service to the Cranbrook Lake Danish Alps Recreation Area.
Thank you.
So presentation for tonight, going to go over background of the rural water system, reasons for the feasibility study, and an evaluation of some of the options. A little bit of background, the system began operation in 1980. Like a lot of the rural water systems created in the 70s and 80s, it's primarily dependent on federal loan and grant programs. When it became operational, it expanded to serve over 660 rural households. Luckily, through a great cooperation with Dakota City, we purchase our water through Dakota City, and then it's pumped to an elevated water tower that has a capacity of 300,000 gallons, as well as a 25,000 gallon standpipe that's served by a booster pump, and that's just kind of on your drive just north of Homer. That's kind of the area that that booster pump and standpipe serves. So here's kind of a little bit of background of the area kind of we're going to talk about. I apologize, these are kind of older maps. They're some of the original ones from when the system was formed that Olson Associates has kind of drawn some of our lines over. Cranbrook Lake's up in this area, and there's the village of Hubbard. Water comes in from the north, serves this booster pump, and then it's pressurized to get up over the hill to serve all these areas. Unfortunately now, we're at pretty much capacity on this line heading down towards Homer, as well as getting near capacity some of these lines heading out to the west. So we're kind of to a point where the system really can't grow without major expansion. One of the kind of biggest worry points for my staff during the summer is this elevated standpipe here with a capacity of only 25,000 gallons. There's certain hot days where all it takes is, people watering their yards, filling sprayers, things like that, to where it's completely maxed out. There's been a number of times where we came close to losing, the bare minimum water pressure. when I talked about, you know, one of the lines heading down towards Homer, the infrastructure itself is at capacity. You know, you have a lot of small diameter mains that were installed to keep costs down. However, when you start talking about a 3 or 4 inch line, a lot of those lines, you can't add new customers to it because they're simply just maxed out. Also, with this being constructed in the 1980s, the infrastructure itself is aging. The pipes probably have a useful life on them, you know, for another 50, 60 years. However, this standpipe is in need of some maintenance. We could probably get by with simply painting it. However, painting a standpipe is a tremendous expense, and at what point do you just say, okay, let's just build a new one to give us that additional capacity? And then lastly, the main reason why we kind of did this study was a demand from rural residents for water service along Fiddler Creek Road. You know, it's pretty often that Lance and Bill get asked by rural residents, you know, wanting to build a new house, or they have poor water quality, about wanting to hook onto the water system. But unfortunately, we're not in a position because of our commitments to other customers. There's just simply not the capacity for them. Another reason for the feasibility study was in 2015, the district opened up the Cramper Lake area. That campground is served by two wells. Unfortunately, those two wells produce poor water quality. If you were to go and fill up at one of the yard hydrants there, it's going to have kind of a reddish brown tint to it from all the iron in the water. That has been kind of an issue for the lake. You go out there on the weekend, you'll hear from a lot of people, they simply do not want to use the water. It's really unfortunate. Here we have this awesome, you know, nearly brand new facility. It's like having a Porsche with no tires. And I believe it's kind of a deterrent for some people going out to the lake. So in order to serve not only Cramper Lake as well as Fiddler Creek Road, the first big thing that would have to be done is to increase the capacity of that booster pump as well as the standpipe. Upgrades would more than likely include increasing that capacity to 75 to 100,000 gallons, so probably tripling or quadrupling the size of it, as well as constructing a booster pump station above ground in a little bit easier to access area. Unfortunately, this area, of the state, we get a lot of really bad blizzards, snowstorms. There's been multiple times where my staff's had to go out, check on the booster pump, and, you know, not only is it stressful in keeping water to the rural residents, but also it puts my staff at jeopardy of, health and safety concerns. Also then, not only does the booster pump and the standpipe itself need to be increased in size, a lot of the main sizes would need to be increased from, 4-inch to 6-inch diameter mains. So one of the options here from Fiddler Creek, and for reference, the village of Homer would be over here. This road kind of goes straight west out of Homer, and there's quite a number of different households. So we would need to construct a 4-inch line along Fiddler Creek Road and then increase capacity, either coming down this existing 3-inch line, upsize that line, or run a new line along M Avenue. One other thing too that we'll also look at is the proximity of other larger customers. A few years back, we extended a rural water main in Washington County to the Lakeland Estates Water Company. It became very lucrative, not only for Lakeland Estates Water Company, but also for the district. Essentially, you're selling a large quantity of water to, a lot of users without having the maintenance of having a bunch of additional meters. So you get that additional revenue source without a lot of the headaches of billing that come with it. There's been a large push not only from the EPA and Department of Health and Human Services, but just also community leaders, in that you have all of these small water systems throughout the state that it's just simply too hard to find water operators to keep up on maintenance, so they're pushing more towards a regionalized water system. So they like to see these projects where you serve a village with a wholesale provider, similar to how we purchase water from Dakota County. So one thing that makes sense is there's not an immediate need right now from the village of Hubbard, but there could be in the future of, if we're adding all this infrastructure, size it appropriately should there ever be a need to hook them on. We've recently, in other years besides Lakeland Estates Water Company, we extended a rural water main in Thurston County 8 miles to serve the village of Rosalie. And it's been a pretty successful project, and the town benefited from it greatly. So we do have a lot of different scenarios going on. Not only do you have a demand for the lake up here, you have a demand for rural residents, and then you also have the demand for potentially going up to the Village of Hubbard. So there's a bunch of different scenarios that we'll have to go through and evaluate what makes the most sense. We feel, in talking with Olson Associates, that a phased approach to allow for budget planning. Unfortunately, if we were to take all of this on at one time, I mean, it's a pretty large number. You know, you start getting up in the millions of dollars. So we feel it'd be most appropriate, keep the momentum up, especially while my staff still has the ability to install some of the mains. I think it's appropriate that we act as quickly as we can and kind of phase this project out just to kind of keep the momentum up. So we need to evaluate multiple funding sources, whether it's USDA grants programs, SRF loans, certain rate financing with customers, as well as possibly a contribution from the district itself. So one of the first portions of the phasing would be upgrading the booster pump and the standpipe in this area. The next phase would be upgrading the mains that feed it. And then phasing out whether we go straight to the lake or we handle this area down Fiddler Creek Road. It's worth noting the district's policy up to this point has been if a rural water main has to be extended to serve a customer, that customer is responsible for 100% of the cost to get the water service there. So for instance, you live two miles away from a rural water main, you have to pay for the full cost of taking it that 2 miles. In this case, the Dakota County Rural Water System operates separate from the district. It's its own standalone revenue source. The rural water system would treat the district as if it's a customer, and if water's needed out at the lake, the district would be responsible for paying the cost of extending the water main out there. So our path forward, the intent is to hold public meetings, gauge interest. We've already held a couple of informal meetings where we've had a number of different rural residents show interest. We would send out public interest surveys and then ultimately come up with our final project phasing to kind of get us, get us like steps towards reaching this goal. But I think in order to kind of kick things off and to really kind of almost operate under the mindset of if you build it, they will come. I think it's really important that we get rural water service out to Cramper Lake. And I believe if that happens, then it really kind of gets the public interest and you get a lot more people coming together and wanting to connect to the system, and it takes off from there.
Question, comments?
Do we have any sort of financial picture of what it would cost to do any of these basic things you're talking about?
We do in the feasibility study of a number of different options. The thing that's hard at this point is knowing for sure which areas we would contract out and which areas we would try to do ourselves. We'll have a lot clearer picture once we have those public meetings and be able to say, okay, we have 20 people in this area that are interested in hooking on, 5 here, and you kind of connect the dots from there. One thing that's extremely lucrative right now is that the Department of Health and Human Services and some other state agencies that are together have what are called the SRF loans, and those interest rates are float between 2 and 2.5%. A lot of our material prices are rising at 3 or 4% a year, so it's the inflation of materials is outpacing what the interest rate would be if we just took out a loan to pay for it.
And there's some thought that if you bring water to Cramper Lake, then other housing might develop around that.
Potentially.
There's some interest in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is where it becomes cumbersome is this is such a big area. It takes kind of a lot of dominoes falling to make it the numbers to work out. Because when you start talking 8 to 10 miles of water main and only 20 people connecting on, just the math doesn't add up. But you need a big, large end user, whether that end user is Cramper Lake, the Village of Hubbard, a housing development or whatever you call it. You kind of need one of those big key players to make the first step, and then I think it all, the math starts to work out.
So what comes first, the big key player or the water system?
I think the key player, the district taking water out to the lake.
Okay.
And I think there's a way that we can, Anthony's had a lot of, has a lot of background in working with the rural development and USDA and kind of finding a way to where you make the math work to where it's feasible. So I think really it just kind of comes down to having as many public meetings as we can and kind of figuring out what the
drilling a well is rather expensive if you do
it. It is.
How much would that be?
There's a number of people out by the lake that have gotten quotes on wells where it's 15 to 20,000.
To drill a single well.
To drill a single well.
So they could afford a good size hookup fee.
Yep, for sure. For sure. And we would probably, and that would get taken into consideration. For what it's worth, we did it on a lot smaller scale here recently last fall. I did about a 2.5 mile extension out towards the Missouri River in the northern kind of part of this area. Got roughly 18 people to connect onto it. And you essentially say, here's the construction cost. Here's how many people we have. You know, let's call it 50,000. And we got 20 people. Divide the 50 by 20 people. And that's how much you pay for your connection. And that was one we installed ourselves. And it worked out really well.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Spinski.
Zach, is Hubbard on board? Do they want additional water?
That's where we're kind of in talks of kind of setting up meetings right now. Okay. The hardest thing is there's probably not an immediate need right now, but there could be. And sometimes it's hard to get people to commit to something that they know is probably inevitable, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Zach. Nine, budget hearing, adoption of 20 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's call the hearing to order at 7:26 p.m. Agenda item 3 is evidence of publication of the hearing notice, which I have here as part of the hearing packet. Item 4 is acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of hearing notices, which were in the Omaha World Herald September 5th and September 6th, 2019. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2020 budget. Exhibit 4 is the fiscal year 2020 proposed expenditure revenue pie charts. Exhibit 5 is the fiscal year 2020 budget worksheets. And then Exhibit 6 is the resolution to set the property tax request for fiscal year 2020 at $26,379,012.50 with a tax levy of 0.037384 per $100 of valuation. Once again, the Exhibit 5 is again the total property tax requirement as well as the total property or total budget requirements of $119,985,575. And again, that reflects the $35 million in the bond refinancing, so it's not that high. Okay, agenda item 6, received testimony and statements on the property tax levy for fiscal year 2020. Is there anyone that would like to provide any testimony or comments on the district's proposed property tax levy for fiscal year 2020? Second time. Third and final. Hearing no one, the public hearing, it was adjourned at 7:28 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Start the public hearing at 7:28 p.m. This is the adoption of the fiscal year 2020 budget. Evidence for proof publication of the hearing notice is here as part of the packet. Acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the proof of publication of the hearing notices. Omaha World Herald September 5th and September 6th of 2019. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet of the fiscal year 2020 budget. Exhibit 4 is the fiscal year 2020 proposed expenditure revenue pie charts. And Exhibit 5 is the budget worksheets. Exhibit 6 is a resolution set the property tax request for fiscal year 2020 at $26,379,012.50 with a tax levy of 0.037384 per $100 of valuation. Agenda item 6, received testimony and statements of the budget hearing and budget summary. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any testimony or statements on the special hearing for the property tax levy? Second time. Third final. Okay, seeing no one, we will end the public hearing at 7:29. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Item 11, Subcommittee Reports, Item 8, PLPA, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have resolved that the minutes of September 10th, 2019, meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted, incorporating these minutes, and the following recommendations of Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 11A1, resolution to be considered at the 2019 NARD annual meeting. Be resolved that the PEPIO NRD voting delegate and our alternate should be and is hereby authorized to vote on the 2019 resolution being considered at the NARD annual conference in the manner as recommended in the table below. I think we took these individually. 2019-1, Nebraska Natural Resources Commission membership requirements submitted by Upper Nyberg White NRD. And I so move.
Any comments on 2019-1? Staff, directors, roll call on that.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ludlow.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Zapinski.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Begley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item number 2019-2, enhanced bonding authority submitted by the Laura Elkhorn NRD, and I so move.
Any comments from the public? Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd like to point out what I said the other night, which was this is a bit of a fight that we don't have a dog in. We have our bonding authority. Let the other NRDs fend for themselves in the sense that we have a unicameral down there that can move in different directions. And if we're caught on the wrong side of this, and although I'm not a fan of bonding, you could lose it all. That's the point I made the other night, just reiterating that point.
Any comments? I'd like to point out that we do have a dog in this fight because depending on what state law might do, it might override our existing bonding authority, we never know. So if the other NRDs get it, it could affect our separate bonding authority, but remains to be seen.
With that, roll call. Correct.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Zapinski.
Yes.
Weiss.
No.
Begley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
And that completes my report.
Thank you. And the FEL, Director Ray Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have here, be it resolved that the minutes of the September 10th, 2019 meeting of the Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Just read a little bit here. Adoption of the fiscal year 2020 budget, set property tax levy at 0.037384 for the fiscal year 2020 budget. And then recommendation that the following resolutions be adopted. So if you want to read that item, items one on the board, one through six, correct here. And I shall move.
Okay. A lot of comments from the public on this budget and tax levy.
Are we voting on the budget now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, can I make a comment?
Yes. Yes.
Good. How much is the actual increase in property tax? In other words, how much was the property value increase throughout the district?
6.8%.
So essentially our budget went up 6.8% because?
6.3. We didn't take it all.
Right. Because of that. And I guess my point I'd like to make is that we limit our employees to what is essentially a 2.5% increase in their salaries every year. So I find it somewhat incongruent that we can increase our budget for the rest of the budget up to 6.3% when we limit our employees to 2.5%. That's my comment.
Okay. Any other comments? Roll call.
Director Jeff.
No.
Zapinski.
Yes.
Weiss.
No.
Begley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Ludlow.
Yes.
Thank you. Now we move to item number two. Zarensky Basin II Surplus Land Sale Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the purchase agreement for Lenoa Pacific Incorporated for the sale of 6.307 acres of Zarensky Water Quality Basin II projects or plus land in the amount of $346,385, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval formed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors?
Quick question. What was the source of the source of the funding that bought the ground in the first place? Was that from a bond?
No. No.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Any comments? Roll call.
Kaminsky.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bagley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Grunwald.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item number three, West Papillion Regional Basin 6 Surplus Land Sale Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the purchase agreement with BHI Incorporated for the sale of 2.693 acres of West Papillion Regional Basin 6 Project Surplus Land in the amount of $118,492, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as we think formed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bagley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Grunwald.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
Kaminsky.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
That is my report.
Thank you. Don't go too far away. Item 12. There's a report very readily.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And up there on the board, but I do want to say it just that one of the weeks of the signing checks and so forth, there was had a family emergency, and my wingman, Tim Fowler, was able to cover. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So the treasurer's report is up on the board. And, A through J. I request that everybody approve items A through J. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second by Fred Conley. Any comments? Public on the treasury report. Staff, any comments? Records. Roll call.
Bagley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Grunwald.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
Kaminsky.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Thank you. That is my report.
Item 13, Chairperson's report. I have nothing. Thanks again, Vince. And again, a pleasure to come back up to this corner of the district to see some folks and get that personal feel. Appreciate that. With that, I move on to General Manager's report, item 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also, Vince, I'd like to reiterate our thank you to you and your wife for the years of hospitality, 31. But more importantly, especially for the new board members, Vince has done not only great things for this county and our district, but for the state as a whole. He was on the Natural Resources Commission, and he was in the Environmental Trust Board. And Cramper Lake obviously would have not happened or been extremely more difficult without his leadership and support, not only here, but across the entire state. So my hat's off to you for your service, not only feeding us every year and opening up your home, but for all that you've done for everyone. So thanks again, and please pass along that to Dorothy as well. The information education highlights, the I&E department nearly concluded phase one research of the education awareness initiative. And thank you to the board members and staff and others that have helped Jen with that exercise. And hopefully we'll see that bears fruit sometime here in the future. The district held a blood drive last month. We collected 13 pints of blood. Sue said you can get blood out of turnip. And so we have potential to help up to three people per pint, I believe that is. And Nicole does a great job setting that up, so we'd like to thank her for organizing that all the time. Report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal property is attached, as well as the current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The Papillion Creek Watershed meeting scheduled for Thursday, August 22nd was canceled. The next meeting is scheduled for September 26, 2019. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Don Winkler. Item 15, informational items. Please note the meetings as presented on the board. Next month, October 8th and 10th, back at Chapel Hills. Item 16, we are adjourned.
Yep.